Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
It is Bucks Weekly as we get you set for game number 3 already this season against the Indiana Pacers. Tomorrow night, we take a look back at game number 2 against the Chicago Bulls last night. And boy, if you like familiar opponents, this is a great week for you. We had the second game in like 2 weeks with the Bulls. You will have your third game with the Indiana Pacers, and not just this week, like these next few weeks. If you like seeing a lot of the same team over and over, boy, do we have a deal for you, because you have the Indiana Pacers in Milwaukee tomorrow night. You, of course, just played the Indiana Pacers in Las Vegas in the in-season tournament. 3 weeks before that, you played the Indiana Pacers in Indianapolis the first time this season. On New Year's Day, you host the Indiana Pacers once again. And 2 days later, you go to Indianapolis to play the Pacers for a fifth time this season, 2.5 months in. You'll see the Detroit Pistons again on Saturday. And, oh, by the way, the pressure that may come with that game. The Pistons have currently lost 20 consecutive games.
You don't want to be the team that loses to them.
They have 2 games between now and Saturday. They are both against the Philadelphia 76ers. Like that. Think about the spot Philadelphia is in. If, like, we got to beat them twice now. We have to make
not
sure
a good scenario.
We're not the team. So, there is a very real possibility that the Detroit Pistons could be entering Milwaukee with a 22-game losing streak on Saturday night. And not to get too sidetracked here on Bucks Weekly, but the Pistons, the aforementioned Pistons, who have lost 20 consecutive games, the Washington Wizards, who I believe currently own a 5-game losing streak, and then the San Antonio Spurs, who I think it's up to 15 that they've lost consecutive. It's in the double figures. Those 3 teams are a combined 1-41 in their last 42 games played. And I mention this because the one win in that scenario is the Wizards beating the Pistons. Did you look up the losing streak for the Spurs?
17.
17.
17 for San Antonio. You mentioned 20
for
Detroit.
The Pistons.
And then for the Wizards.
Is it more than 5?
It's 5 on the dot.
Oof. Yeah, 1-41, those 3 teams combined. And the one win was against each other. Who is going to tell these teams? You guys know there's no Victor Wembanyama in this upcoming draft, right? That was last summer. It doesn't happen every year. But that's going to bring some pressure on the Bucks. But this is a 6-game homestand. And look, I get the, man, I thought everything was starting to turn around. I thought we turned the corner. I thought the offense was fixed. The defense was getting better. We finally blew out the Knicks and won in a game that didn't go down to the last 5 minutes of the game. Look, not to be a broken record here, it's going to take time, and it is going to be a process. We did see some signs of that continuing chemistry developing between Giannis and Dame Lillard in the first half yesterday. And here's the other thing. The biggest reason why it's going to take time is when this team is on, they're really, really good, right? Like the first half of yesterday's game, and I know it was only a 9-point lead against the Bulls, who were playing without Zach LaVine. But that offense in the first half last night was everything you envisioned this group being when you acquired Damian Lillard. There was a lot of ball movement. They had 26 field goals in the first half, 20 assists. You had Dame passing 2 spots on the floor with Giannis. And again, that's something that can only occur once there's chemistry and more of that familiarity of putting it to a spot you trust Giannis will get to. That in all likelihood, Giannis worked with Dame and said, look, just put it here. I'm going to get there. Don't worry about it. I'll take it from there. We saw a couple of instances of that. And as much talk as we've all had about defense, and remember the adage for all these, well, defense wins championships. And for so long, it was you got to be a top 10 defense. You still have to be decent. You can't be horrendous. The Denver Nuggets stretched that a little bit last year, but I think everybody that points to, well, look where Denver was, they were the first team in, I forget however many years, over a decade, over two decades, I believe, to win the championship without a defense that finished in the top 10 in the regular season. But what we fail to point out is that defense was pretty good in the playoffs. And it may well be the fact that Denver just continued to get better throughout the season. They were just okay. Maybe they just did enough during the regular season, as we've seen a lot of teams tend to do. That defense, you know, I wouldn't say it was a bad defense. They played very good in the postseason. But they were still the first team in quite some time to have a defense outside of the top 10 and win an NBA championship. That is starting to soften a little bit. But it's still, you can't be in the bottom 10. And the Bucks and the Pacers are certainly testing the limits there. Where I think what the Pacers did to the Bucks and what the Pacers, frankly, have done to every team in the league this season may be what the Bucks are trying to accomplish here. We know, I'll speak for the Pacers here, we know our defense is not good, but guess what? Our offense is. And you may be able to score a lot on our defense. We think we can score even more on you with our offense. That's exactly what they did to the Bucks. And that's basically the model that we have pointed to for the last couple of weeks when we said this defense is starting to get a little better. If you look at the games played since November 3rd, when that defense was shifted back to a much more familiar spot, Brook Lopez close to the basket, they're right in the middle of things, the 15th rated defense in games played since then. And if you can do that, I'm not saying you can be where the Pacers are, and the Bucks, by the way, season as a whole, are not that far off from where the Pacers are. But if you can do that, if you can say we'll just be average, and we think our offense can take it from there, we're seeing more and more signs of it. And here's the other thing. Last thing I'll point to before we take a break here is defensively, some of the maybe regression that we've seen recently. I think we do have to be patient with that side of the ball because Jay Crowder and Pat Connaughton are presumably going to be pretty big pieces of that defense, how they defend on the perimeter, some of the things that they do, switching and zone. Those are two guys that can certainly do anything you throw out there defensively. And you've been playing without Jay Crowder now for about a month. You're still going to have another month to clear without him. Been playing without Pat Connaughton for 2 weeks, 2 weeks as of today. He will not play in tomorrow's game against the Pacers. But Adrian Griffin did say before the game last night, it sounds like by the end of the week, Pat Connaughton will be back on the floor. So we do need to wait until this team gets some of those pieces back. I hesitate to say until this team is fully healthy because nobody is ever fully healthy once the season gets going. But those are two pretty big misses, two pieces for the Bucks to be without in the interim. When we come back, it is time for Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. And this week, Gale Klopp's guest is Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. You'll hear that conversation next on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. It was one and done in Vegas. The Bucks came back empty-handed from the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. But the team came home hungry. And it showed on Monday night as the Bucks came out firing against the Chicago Bulls. It took grit and defense to finally put the Bulls away. The Bucks sealed the deal in overtime. So where do we stand with a quarter of the season already in the books? Tonight we'll get some insight and some answers from the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Adrian Griffin. Adrian, as always, great to sit down with you. Welcome back to Courtside.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, Coach, another W and another barn burner Monday night. Coach, if we keep winning like this, I'm going to have to buy my wife a new defibrillator.
Yeah. I might have to buy my wife one, too.
Oh, gosh. Well, you couldn't help but notice, Coach, that Giannis really put the team on his back again in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And, Coach, as you may know, he's chasing history. It was his sixth straight game, scoring at least 30 points and hitting at least 60% from the floor. No surprise, I guess, but Coach Giannis is turning in a tremendous season so far.
No, I think he's been great. He's been wonderful. I mean, it's hard to put his performance into words. He's just a superior athlete, superior player, basketball player, and even better person, you know. And I thought he played a terrific game last night against the Bulls. He only had two field goal attempts in the first half, but he was getting everybody involved. The ball was hopping. And he was just, you know, I think that's his maturation as far as taking complete control of a game. And I think the second half, he did what he needed to do for us to win. And he started to assert himself more. But, you know, we put up 74 points in the first half, and a lot of that was because of Giannis and just the way, you know, he's commanding a lot of attention, as we know, and he was just spreading the ball around and making the right play. And I think in the second half, we needed him to be more assertive, and, you know, he just kind of put his cape on and saved the day. But, you know, it was just a total team effort. I thought we had some great performance from a lot of individuals.
Coach, as you saw, the shots were not falling for Damian Lillard Monday night, but I know you think he still played a very big role in the win.
Well, of course. He didn't shoot it well. And, you know, there's going to be nights like that where the ball doesn't fall, but can you do the other things? You know, he had 9 assists, thought he did a great job of making the right play. You know, he was hitting the paint and spraying around and getting his teammates involved. And we needed those 9 assists. You know, the way the ball is hopping and the way we're sharing the ball, it's been great. And I think if you look down the stretch, you know, he was aggressive on the defensive end. I thought he took the challenge on, you know, they were trying to get a switch, switch him on to DeRozan. And I thought he did a really good, solid job of just staying in front of him. And, you know, of course, you know, we got to rebound a little bit more, you know, take command of the those defensive boards and limit them to one shot. But I thought, you know, Dame played a solid game, you know, regardless of, you know, outside of not shooting it well. Sometimes you can still play well and impact the game even when the ball's not falling. I thought he did that last night.
And, Coach, speaking of rebounding, Chris Middleton came up big on the boards Monday night.
Yes, I think he had 13 defensive rebounds or rebounds, period. Just having him on the floor is just invaluable for us. And, you know, the first time we played Chicago, we didn't have him in overtime. And, you know, he was a big deciding factor this time in the overtime. We needed him. He grabbed a couple of defensive rebounds. You know, his defense on DeRozan is tough. DeRozan is a handful for anybody, you know. But I think I trust Chris in those situations. He's a veteran guy. But we needed his leadership last night, and he came through for us. And we needed this win, and I was glad that, you know, we had him in the game and we had him in overtime to do so.
Chris, of course, as you know very well, Coach, started the season on minutes restriction after a knee surgery during the summer. Where do we stand with Chris's playing time?
Well, he's doing great. Like, he had a, you know, right knee procedure, did a wonderful job with his rehab. We thought it was smart for him and for us to not rush the process. So he was on a minute restriction for the first part of, you know, the first, you know, I want to say 20 or so games. And but now he's his minutes are increasing, and that's good news for us. You know, like I said, we're much better team with when Chris is on the floor. But, you know, it just comes down to how well he responds each day. You know, I spoke to him this morning, and he was feeling really good. And I had to apologize because I said, hey, I know, like, this is a little longer than what you've played in the, you know, past for this season. And But he said, hey, I feel good, coach. And so that made me feel a little bit better. And, you know, definitely going to need him, you know, tomorrow against Indy.
And, coach, you have called Chris Middleton one of the smartest players you've ever been involved with. Talk about his instincts. Talk about his understanding of the game. Talk about what he means to you as almost like a coach on the floor.
No, he's definitely a coach on the floor. He's the extension of our coaching staff. You know, I trust Chris 100%. There's been times where, you know, I may call a play and he may have a play. And, you know, we're going with Chris because, you know, I played this game. And I know as a player, you see the game differently. You're in the trenches. And I trust him. He's a veteran guy. He's a proven guy. He's a winner. He's an NBA champion. And there's been times where he's just making calls on the fly. He's getting our players in the right spots. Great communicator, a great teammate, has a great pulse on what the team needs at the time. So it's invaluable when you have a player like Chris on the floor that can just be an extension of what you're trying to accomplish at the staff. So very, you know, pleased and grateful to have a player like Chris on this team.
More with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Coach, we mentioned earlier that a quarter of the season, gosh, already in the books. Give us your take, if you will, on the state of the team. And first, let's talk about our offense. In the early going, really been in the top five in the league.
Well, I think that's, you know, a lot. First, you know, it's always the players. Like, they've totally, you know, bought in. We've had some special talent on the team, of course, but it takes all five guys working together. You know, I know that Dame and Giannis get a lot of attention, and rightly so. They're phenomenal, right? Top 75 all-time players, you know, ever play this game. So certainly special individuals, but, you know, Malik's been great, and Brooke has been phenomenal. And, you know, we got, you know, Chris and even the guys coming off the bench, and we've been shorthanded a little bit with some injuries, you know, no Pat and no Jay. So those guys, you know, everyone has plays an important role. And I just love when, you know, we're executing and we're sharing the ball and we get the ball hopping and, you know, we're high in assists. I think we had 33 assists against Atlanta, 32 against New York. We had quite a few in the first half of this of the game last night. I think just their execution and their unselfishness is a big part of the reason why, you know, we're top five in our offense. And also give a shout out to my staff. You know, they work extremely hard. They're very competent, and they're just doing their best and putting their best foot forward. And so it you know, it takes a village. So I think everyone's moving in the right direction, pulling for each other, and that's what it's about. The collaboration and the teamwork is, I think, it's been exceptional.
Coach, tell us a bit about a player new to Bucks fans this season who's obviously a tremendous shooter, Malik Beasley.
Well, Malik he's been kind of like the glue, so to speak, of he's a byproduct of how we're playing. I kind of know if we're playing the right way, you know, Malik he's getting 6, 7, 8 threes, you know, and if the ball is sticking, I know like his numbers are down. So he's the barometer, you know, so to speak. And but not just on the offensive end, but he's taking the toughest assignment on the defensive end, and he's doing a phenomenal job. You know, he's fighting and he's scrappy, and he's showing that he's just not a 3-point shooter. You know, he's putting his best foot forward, and that's all you could ask. You know, some nights he may be undersized because he's guarding bigger guards, but he's still fighting. And some night that it may be a quicker guard, but he's finding a way to impact the game on the defensive end, just not a 3-point shooter. So I just appreciate his effort. You know, he's a team first guy, doesn't care about, you know, getting his numbers. He's just doing whatever it takes for our team to win.
And Coach, rumor is you're the one that taught him the shimmy that he does after he makes two or three of those three.
No, I didn't talk. The shimmy drives me crazy, you know. I'm old school, you know. And but, hey, I'll take it. If that's what it takes for the ball to go in, he could shimmy away.
Well, when we see you doing a shimmy on the sidelines, we'll make sure we keep the tape.
I might shimmy with him if he keeps making those threes.
There you go, Coach. And now turning to our defense, a work clearly in progress. Where do we need to improve, Coach?
Well, I think, first of all, we're making strides. You know, sometimes that gets overlooked. Like, I think we started out, defensively in the high 20s, and I think in the last 13 games, we've made significant improvement on our defense. And you're right, it's still a work in progress, but the guys are committed to getting it right. I think, like anything, you know, there are just certain things you have to do to win ball games, and, you know, one of those most critical things is you have to rebound, you know. You have to sprint back and transition, limit teams to one shot, and you know, that's one thing we continue to stress, and obviously we continue to teach, and we're getting better. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to build the habits needed, but the guys understand, like, you know, I always say, you know, rebounding covers up a lot of mistakes. You know, you can make a lot of mistakes on any given possession, but if you can rebound, it's all is forgotten. But you just don't want to lose games because you failed to block out, and you know, it's tough. You know, it's not just on them. You know, sometimes I'm putting them different coverages, and then that's not easy. You know, we may go zone, we may blitz a little bit, so it's they're learning me, I'm learning them. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, we got to do better on the boards.
Understand. And Coach, two younger players are getting some meaningful minutes from you this season. If you will, talk with us about what you're seeing from Marshawn Beauchamp and our friend AJ Green.
Well, Marshawn, you know, you can see his talent. You know, he's everything that, you know, you think of a, you know, NBA player. He has size, he has athleticism, he has, you know, wingspan, and we had him guarding, you know, ones, twos, threes, fours, you know, and on offensively, he's very gifted. You know, he's capable three-point shooter. He could put on the floor, finish at the basket. So I love, like, what he's bringing to the table. And, you know, he's still young. He's still a work in progress, and you never stop working. But I think the future is bright for Marjon, and I love what he's bringing to the table. And then AJ, he's been invaluable off the bench. You know, just it takes a real pro to sit there. You know, some games he plays, some games he doesn't play. But, you know, him coming in, and, you know, he has that shooter's confidence. You know, when I played, if I missed my first shot, I didn't look at the rim. You know, I was done for the game. But he has that shooter mentality that he knows the next shot is going in, and that's what I love about him, because we need his spacing. You know, him spacing the floor. We need his three-point shooting. And but he had five boards last game, five or six boards. He's just not a three-point shooter. Like, he's tough and gritty, and that's what you need. You know, as a role player and to make it in a career as an NBA player, you know, you got to be great at what you do, of course, but you need that toughness, and, you know, you got to bring that energy off the bench, and I think he's doing that, and he's been great for us.
More with Coach Griffin right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Adrian, you've said that one of your core philosophies as a coach is collaboration, a give and take of ideas between the players and the coaching staff, and our listeners would love to hear an example of how you've put that concept to work in your first year here leading the Bucks.
Well, I think early on, just getting to know the players, getting to know me. And as a coach, you always want to put your players in the best position to to succeed and on the court. And, you know, early on, I came in with a different, you know, defensive philosophy as far as pick and rolls. You know, I sat down with our coaches, sat down with John and his staff, and, you know, it is collaboration. Sat down with the players, and we're trying to figure out what's the best, you know, pick and roll, I guess, strategy conducive to this team. And, you know, with Brooke, just the way that he protects the paint, it just made sense to have him in a little deeper drop. You know, in the past, I've kind of been accustomed with our bigs up, you know, almost to the level of screen or you know, maybe a couple feet below the screen. But I think for the success of the team, it just made sense for Brooke. And then our defense has improved, and our pick and roll defensive numbers have improved. And so, those things, you know, as coaches, sometimes, you know, we can be stubborn. But I thought, you know, this is it doesn't have to be my idea. It just has to be the best idea. So, you know, we've all had the same goal in mind, and that's to win a championship. And you can't do that alone. You have to, you know, operate as a team. You have to work together. You have to collaborate. You got to put the players in the best situation so that they can be successful. So I think Brooke, that's just one example of just Brooke being in more of a drop, and he's thriving. I think he's tied or leading the league in blocks. If I'm not mistaken, he's up there. So he's doing a tremendous job of protecting the paint.
And Pat Connaughton told us last week, talking about Brooke, that Brooke has just said to Father Time, not yet.
No, not yet. He's like fine wine. He just keeps getting better and better. You know, like Brooke, and he really does. He does so many things for us on the court. Not just with his shot blocking, he can stretch the floor with his 3-point shooting. He can put it on the floor. He does. You know, he does it all. We talk about Giannis athleticism, and rightly so. But you know, Brooke at his age and his size and how he could continue to impact the game. You know, he's a freak in his own nature.
That makes a lot of sense. Fine wine and 280 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, the Bucks have just begun one of the longest homestands of the season, 6 straight games in the friendly confines of Fiserv Forum. Coach, with the time here at home now, are you going to be able to fit in more practice time for the team? I know, and many fans may not realize, that practice time is really difficult to come by during a regular NBA season.
No, it's definitely been scarce, especially the first part of the season. And what we've done in the past, it just use our shoot-arounds more like a mini practice. Like nothing, you know, we're not putting the players through anything hard or anything. It's just we got to spend a little bit more on film, more time on film, a little bit more time on going over our rotations and our plays. And so we kind of just use shoot around as a hybrid. But we will have a few games here, I think, but not many. You know, we play, I think we got a back-to-back game after Indiana, Detroit, and Houston, and then, you know, we got San Antonio and Orlando coming up. So the games come fast, you know, and that's a challenge, not just a challenge for our team, but every team in the NBA is how do you find time to practice. But I think the one of the positives is we have a very, you know, experienced veteran team that, you know, super smart, super intelligent. They pick up on things, even if we show them on film. So, but we have to use it all. You know, we're going to have to use film. We're going to have to use practices. We're going to have to use our shoot-arounds and try to find ways to get better. But, you know, finding the time is always a challenge in the NBA.
And finally, Coach, another big test on the horizon. We face the Indiana Pacers next, the team that knocked us out of the in-season tournament. What, in your mind, are 2 or 3 keys that fans should look for as the Bucks look to bounce back against a fast, young, dangerous Pacer team?
You know, like, just when you play the Indiana Pacers, it's just, you know, you have to get back in transition, and you have to limit them to one shot. You know, they play with so much pace, so Those are the two primary things, you know, try to get them in the half court, get our defense set. You know, obviously we're going to game plan against them as best as we can. But I think, just the controllables are not giving them easy baskets in transition, number one. And then once we do stop, you know, limit them to one shot. And I think if you do that, you got a chance. If you don't, it's going to be very difficult to beat them.
Well, we wish you all the best on the Pacers. And as the season rolls on, Coach, always great fun to visit with you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Our thanks to Gail Klappa for his time spent with Adrian Griffin. One final score to keep you up to date on, and that's it, or to fill you in on, that's in Boston, where the Celtics are, I don't know if it's gone final quite yet, but the Celtics are about to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Boston Celtics, of course, the owners of the best record in the Eastern Conference in all of basketball now at 18-5. So they will be two games in front of the Bucks and the Orlando Magic. Magic are a team the Bucks will see on this six-game homestand. And the Philadelphia 76ers just a half game behind the Bucks and the Magic, and now 2.5 games back of the Celtics. And, of course, the 76ers have two straight games with the Detroit Pistons, who have done nothing but lose ever since November began. The last time the Detroit Pistons won a game, James Harden was still playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. 20-game losing streak. Those are the two games that the Sixers have next. So one other thing to point out here about this Bucks team and about what we've seen recently. I mentioned that chemistry that's continuing to build and develop between Giannis and Dame Lillard and frankly, Giannis and everybody. In the now, 77-year history of the NBA. The number of players who have finished a season scoring 30 or more points while shooting 60% or better from the field is one. Giannis Antetokounmpo right now would be that one name, shooting 61% from the field, averaging over 30 points a game. No player in the history of the league has done that before. Adrian Dantley is the closest. He shot 58% from the field. If you take it down a notch and look at, okay, how many times did a player average 30 or more and shoot at least 57% from the field? It had happened four times previously, and one is currently ongoing. Giannis this season, twice. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it as a member of the Bucks, and Adrian Dantley did it in consecutive seasons in 1982 and 83. So we have seen Giannis become much, much more efficient this season. And this really started a couple of weeks ago. It's been about 15 or so games for Giannis. It was ever since Giannis missed that time. Damian Lillard missed two straight games. Giannis missed that game against the Raptors. After those events occurred, it seemed like both Giannis and Damian Lillard seemed to find their groove a little bit more. And for Giannis, those numbers, if you take a look at them, prior to that game that he missed against the Raptors, and then afterwards, the scoring has been there, right? The scoring has been at a pretty similar level. But it's been his efficiency numbers that have just jumped off the page. And that's the biggest step forward for Giannis. Is you think back to last year when a lot of the conversation was, well, yeah, he's putting up some big numbers, but anything away from the paint, anything away from the rim, it's not what we're accustomed to seeing from Giannis. Is he taking a step backwards? Is this regression that we're seeing from Giannis? And I think what we've started to see is Giannis can take so much on that you just start to force things. And what jumps out the most in this sample size that I'm referring to, so it is 12 games that Giannis has played since missing that game against the Raptors. He has been efficient. He has let the game come to him. In those 12 games, he has 10 double-doubles and one triple-double. Prior to that, played 9 games. He had 10, or he had one triple-double there. He averaged 31.5 points per game, or is averaging 31.5 points per game in these games played since November 17th. When he missed that game against the Raptors, he came back, and from that point forward, in his 12 games played, he is averaging 31.5 points. Prior to that, he averaged just under 30 points. He shot 58% from the floor, so still pretty good. Got to the free throw line just under 11 times per game. Hit 7 of those, a 64% field goal or free throw percentage. And he shot 25% on his threes. He took 2.5 threes per game. In those games played since, he is averaging 31.5 points per game. He is shooting 65% from the field. He is averaging just 1 3-point attempt per game. More on that in a minute. And he's 7 of 10 at the free throw line. 70%. That's the other thing that we have seen spike upwards for Giannis. He has been much more consistent at the free throw line. 14 of 18 last night, technically speaking. That was 14 of 17 with a 10-second violation. And again, 10 triple-doubles in those games, or 10 double-doubles in those games played since that point forward. 6 in his first 9 games of the season. And his lone triple-double has come in that 12-game sample. So he has been scoring more. He has been doing it efficiently. We just pointed to no player has ever scored 30 or more points and shot 60% or better from the floor. He's scoring 31.5 points and shooting 65% from the floor in those 12 games played since things really started to click for Giannis. So that is one of the bigger things to point to when you look for reasons for this team's going to figure it out. And the optimism is, man, if everything gets cooking while Giannis is doing this, it goes back to that conversation about the Pacers. You may have some flaws defensively, but if this is our offense, you better worry about your own defense, because I don't know how you are going to slow this down. I mentioned the three-point shooting. I do want to close it out with a little bit of a discussion on that when we wrap up the show, specifically as it ties into Giannis, because that has been another massive growth for Giannis this season, a big step forward. We'll tell you what we mean and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. So again, the efficiency numbers for Giannis have been even stronger, even higher efficiency in the last 12 games played. He has missed one game this season, and it was from that point forward, after missing the game against the Raptors, that we have seen a much, much more efficient version of Giannis. And the Bucks have been more successful as well. 6-4 in those first 10 games, and they're 9-3 in the 12 games Giannis has been a part of since. But I mentioned three-point shooting. So that is the other big takeaway, or big thing to take from all the numbers that we threw at you tonight, is three-point shooting. And we've, for years now, talked about, man, if Giannis could develop a three-point shot, and then that morphed into, I really wish Giannis would stop shooting threes. Well, this season, through 22 games, Giannis is averaging 1.7 three-point attempts per game. If that number holds, that would be his lowest average attempts per game since his third season in the league in 2015-16, when he averaged 1.4 and shot 26% of those. He's shooting 24% this year. He has not been a 30% three-point shooter since the 2020-2021 season, when the Bucks ultimately won an NBA championship. But that third season in the league, when he took 1.4 three-pointers per game, he averaged just under 17 points, and that was part of the stretch where all of his individual numbers improved year in, year out. And that was also the last time Giannis was not an all-star. So that's another thing to keep a look at here for the final 50-plus games of the season for Giannis to see if that number stays where it is. The rest of the numbers we throw at you with, in terms of the efficiency, his shooting around the basket, his 60% field goal percentage, those all figure to stay where they are if that three-point number remains where it is. Tomorrow night, Bucks host the Indiana Pacers. It's a 7 o'clock tip from Fiserv Forum. And here's the other thing about that game. If you lose that game, you will have lost the season series against the Pacers and thus lost the tiebreaker should you need it. 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.